Genesis chapter 7. We'll begin reading in verse 11. Genesis chapter 7, begin reading in verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. We'll stop here with the reading, but we'll reference chapter 6 and 7 and maybe a couple other chapters as well here at the beginning of Genesis. Our dear friends, the Lord family, have been with us, actually were with us last week, and Lord willing, they'll be with us next Sunday to celebrate Easter with us here at Rubyville. And I love the fact that it's Rubyville Alive, because, and I have to tell this because there's a little thing going around. There's a lot of funny little things going around right now. Everybody's just, you know, they're shut in and things are happening and people are sending stuff. But one of the funniest things I've seen is my wife told me about it. She said it was this, that the churches may be empty, but the grave is too. And I thought, well, that's a great way to put it. The church may be empty, but the grave is too. But they'll be here with us celebrating Easter next week. And one of their songs, I listen to them all the time, and Mike Blanton Evidence all the time on my car and on my phone. And one of the songs that I've been listening to a lot, they wrote, actually they didn't write it, but they recorded a few years ago on their Mount Testimony CD, and the song is called The Only Way Out Is Through, and that's actually the title of my message tonight. It was kind of the springboard of this message, The Only Way Out Is Through. Here's the lyrics to the chorus. The only way out is through, the only way out is through. There's no way over, there's no way under. God's doing something brand new. But cheer up, my brother, be of good courage. Don't stop whatever you do. Step out in faith, because he's making a way. The only way out is through. And when we think about that, sometimes in life, we can get assistance from external sources and they can be a help. But there are times in our life when help from external sources isn't going to help us. The only thing that'll help us get through a situation is God. Can you say amen right there? He is the only way that's going to, he is the only person that can help us get through the situations that we're in. God is the only one that can get us through a Red Sea without building a bridge. God is the only one that can get us through Jericho walls without using dynamite. God is the only one to get us through a den of lions when basically when we are what's on the menu for that evening for the lions. God is the only one that can get us through a fiery furnace when all we have is each other right in the middle of the fire. God is the only one to get us through a midnight prayer meeting inside a Philippian jail. God is the only one to get us through an evil world, and God is the only one that has brought us through what we've already been through to get us here today. And so if we understand that and we put that in perspective of this story here, one of the greatest verses in your Bible is Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, when it says that God looked at the earth and he repented they even made man. But verse 8 tells us, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so we find here in this wonderful, beautiful story of grace that in the midst of an evil world, God gave grace to Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we know later that through the flood and through the circumstances that Noah faced, God brought him through it. And that you'll find in chapter 8, toward the end of the chapter, that Noah began to make sacrifices once the land dried and once they were able to get back on land safely. And I believe if we could go back in time and if we could hear what Noah had to say as he was offering up sacrifices to God, maybe he was praising him and saying, thank you, Lord, I've made it through it, but I had to go through it to get out of the ark. And listen tonight, we've got to go through some some things. And may I remind you, there's the word, the most important word in this whole situation is through. The only way we're going to get out of the mess that we're in today is we got to go through some things. But may I remind you, through is a great word. It doesn't mean we're going to stop. It doesn't mean we're going to die. No, eventually we're going to get through. And I'm thankful tonight that when we place our faith in God, He will get us through. My old pastor, Brother Delbert Evans, used to say this: if you can stand the pull, He'll pull you through. And He will pull us through tonight. And so we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to get through this? Well, it's right here in our in this beautiful story. Number one, if we're going to get through what we're facing right now, we have to, number one, trust His plan. We got to trust His plan. Listen, God has a plan. And I will tell you this, it doesn't make sense, and it won't make sense. Sometimes God's plan requires us to do things that we've never done before. Sometimes God's plan requires us to do things that are out of the ordinary. Sometimes God's plan make us go through lonely times. I mean, you look at Genesis chapter 6 with the specific directions that God gave to Noah. There hadn't been a raindrop form in the clouds, but yet God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. I've got a plan, but I want you to build an ark. And he may have said, we don't have this in the Bible, but he may have said, God wants an ark and God wants rain. But it didn't matter. It didn't make sense. It was unheard of, but God still had a plan. And I'll guarantee one thing tonight, folks. Most of the time in our lives, God's plans don't make sense. God's plans will, he will add while he subtracts. God's plans will multiply when he's dividing. Sometimes he gives by taking away. Sometimes he raises us up by pulling us down. Sometimes he gets us ahead by putting us behind. Sometimes he gives us life by having us to die to certain things. Sometimes he opens our eyes by making us blind. Sometimes we win by experiencing defeat. I'm telling you, folks, God's plans don't make sense, but the problem is we don't have to worry about what God's planning upon us. All we got to do is trust his plan. That's all Noah had to do. Of course it didn't make sense. Of course it went against the flow. Of course it was unheard of at his time. But he still trusted in God. He still trusted his plan. Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Psalm 4:5 says, we must offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Psalm 118:8 says, trust in God, but put not your confidence in man. Psalm 40:4 tells us, blessed is the man that putteth his trust in the Lord. Nahum 1:7 tells us, he knoweth him that trust in him. And one of the most quoted verses in your Bible, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I know this don't make sense, and I know what we're going through don't make sense, and we're confused. What's God doing? I'm not so concerned about what he's doing, folks. What I'm concerned is putting my trust in him. I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, but bless God, I know who holds tomorrow, and I'm just going to trust him. Hallelujah. I'm going to trust him. Amen. And why do we trust him? Because I guarantee this, 100% of the time, all the time, his plans come to fruition. Every single time. He may use different circumstances to get us back in where we need to go, but I guarantee 100% of the time, whatever he's planning, it'll come to fruition. Amen. Amen. He's always had a plan. He's always had a plan. From the very first sin, even before the first sin was committed, God had a plan. Hallelujah. When he died on the cross of Calvary, God had a plan. And before you even get into your mess, before you even make your first sin, friend, thank God, God has a plan to get you out of it. But you got to go through it to get out of it. And if we're going to get through it, we've got to trust him. We've got to trust his plan. Secondly, not only do we have to trust his plan to get through it, but we also have to tolerate his process. Not only trust his plan, but tolerate his process. Now hang with me just one second, and I believe you'll understand where I'm coming from. No child of God ever has a problem with God's provisions. No one. If he takes care of us, provides for every need we have, we can raise our hand to heaven and say, bless God, he provided again. But I guarantee a lot of us may have issue with the process. And God has a plan that we have to trust, sometimes we got to tolerate the process before the plan comes to fruition. You say, well, Brian, how does that work out in Noah's life? Well, just think about it here. Go home and read chapter 6 and 7. Look at what he had to do. I read to you a little bit. Not only did his family, there was 8 of them total that entered into the ark. But what else did he say? You've got some company on this ark. And here's the company. I want you to take, he gave you specific detail in chapter 7. I'm not going to go back and read it, but there's specific detail on what kind of animal, how many of each animal he was supposed to take. So think about this, and some of you have been to the Ark Encounter, you've seen, and they've tried to tell you to the best of their knowledge, how they could fit all those animals and insects into one boat. Now, put all that aside. Noah had to trust God's plan, but he had to tolerate the process. Think about it. Not only did he have his family to worry about, but he had all these animals to worry about. He had to worry about sound and smell. Now, I know it's funny, but think about it. He had to tolerate the process. There's just some things he had to put up with before the plan had to come to fruition. And tonight, folks, I'll just be flat out honest. What we're going through right now, it stinks. How many of your kids at home said, well, this stinks. I can't go outside. Well, this stinks. I can't go back. Well, going back to school, some of them aren't, they aren't upset about that. But I know there's a lot of school kids, a lot of seniors that aren't going to get to go through some of the things that they have looked forward to for 12 years. And they might have said, well, that stinks. And I know, and I'm not downplaying that. I've said myself, well, this stinks. There's going to be people I can't visit because of all this. There's going to be things we can't do as pastors that we want to do and we just can't do. And it stinks. It don't smell good. It don't feel good. Not only that, you have all the rhetoric of the world that's in your ears every single day. You turn on the news and it seems like it's not getting any better. We're not flattening the curve. It's going up. It's going down. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day. We don't know what they're going to shut down next. So we got the noise, we got the sound, and we got the smell. Listen, there's some things we have to understand we're going to have to put up with, and we're going to have to tolerate the process before we get through the process. But may I remind you, last week, and I'll remind you again today. Not one person in this country has not been affected by what's going on. We are in this together, and there's just some things we're going to have to tolerate in order to get through it. Remember what my pastor, Brother Deb, said? If you can stand the pull, he'll pull you through. And we love to get through it, but we don't like the pulling. And right now, we're in that pulling stage. Listen, it's now more than ever. Remain faithful to the plan. Trust God's plan. Tolerate the process. Get on your knees every day. Get as close to God as you can, folks. And when you come through it, you can look back and say, God took care of me. Hallelujah. Tolerate the process. Not only that, but trust the plan. But finally, I want you to notice this. If we're going to get through it, once we get through it, even by faith, we're going to have to be thankful for the promise. Trust his plan, tolerate the process, but be thankful for the promise. Now, automatically, you Bible readers, Bible scholars, most of you are probably going ahead with me a couple chapters to chapter 9. Because that's where, when we talk about a promise in Noah's story, we automatically want to go to chapter 9 because that's when God put the bow in the cloud, right? But if you look at it very closely, the rainbow was not the promise. The rainbow was not the promise. The rainbow was a token of the promise. The rainbow represented the promise. It wasn't the promise. I appreciate what Jody's saying tonight. Went right along with the message. God gave Noah a promise, and actually the promise he gave to him is in Genesis 6, verse 18. He says, but with thee will I establish my covenant. He gave him the promise before they even got into the ark. Now, here's what focused me on this chapter. The very first verse in our text in verse 11. I want you to notice something with me. Moses, we know Moses is the author of the book of Genesis, not Noah. Moses is the author. But for some reason, here in verse 11, he gives a very detailed day, doesn't he? He said, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the seventh day of the month. That's very specific of the time that they go into the ark. They said, well, Ryan, what does that have to do with the promise? And why did Moses choose to give this specific detail about the day they went into the ark? Here's what I believe the Lord is trying to tell us. God wanted Noah to remember this day for a purpose. And here's what it is. Think about it. If God took care of Noah on land for 600 years, 2 months, and 17 days, surely to goodness, he could take care of him for 40 days in a flood. I felt that tonight. If he could take care of Noah for 600 years, 2 months, and 17 days on land, surely he could take care of Noah through a flood for 40 days and 40 nights. I've been living on this earth for 44 years, 6 months, thank God, in 5 days, and he's took care of me every step of the way. And as if I live to tomorrow, it'll be day six. But hallelujah, if he's taken care of me all those days, surely he can take care of me and take me through what I face tomorrow. Aren't you thankful tonight? He's faithful. He's faithful. And we got to remember his promise and be thankful for the promise that if he's got us through till now, he'll get us through tomorrow. Somebody say amen. Say amen on the Facebook, on the YouTube. Tell me amen. That's good preaching. If he can take care of us up till then, he can take care of us tomorrow. Hallelujah. He's not going to fail us, and he'll get us through. And then he shows us just how wonderful his promise is. And he reminds us in little ways, every now and again, he drops a testimony in our lives to show us that he'll be faithful. Yesterday, I don't care to tell you, was probably one of the most difficult days ever in my ministry. I loved Ethan Boggs with all my heart. And he and I had a special friendship. He called me Bear. I called him Boggs. It wasn't disrespectful. He respected me and Pastor Cal with the utmost. As ornery as he was always, Cal mentioned that in the funeral yesterday, he was always very respectful. And Tim, I did all I could just to hold it together yesterday. And Jody and Simon, oh my, just unbelievable what they did to encourage us and that family. And hundreds of people. There's been almost 12,000 views of that funeral service so far. And I may mention, the pastor made mention, and even Ethan's friend Bryce alluded to the fact that through these tragic circumstances, God will bring us through and something good will come out of it. And I remember making this statement. I said, I don't know how and I don't know when, but something good. If one person would get saved as a result of what has happened, then something good will come out of this. This afternoon, I got a text from his mother, Mary Sue. I can't even imagine what she's facing. Mary Sue, if you're watching tonight, we're praying for you. Jason, we're praying for you. Ed, we're praying for you, the whole family. Sarah. I just can't imagine. She made some comments and posted on social media how thankful she was for the overwhelming love and support and the outpouring. And it was overwhelming. Still is. And she asked me today, she said, "Did you read my post?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, it was powerful. Thank you for sharing that." She said, "No, did you read the comments?" And I said, "No." And she sent me back a message from a young lady that went to school with Ethan, I believe. And last night after the funeral, that young lady was contemplating over everything that happened and how much she missed Ethan, how dear of a friend he was. And she said, "I just said it and just cried my eyes out. And I realize if I'm going to get through this, I've got to give my heart to Jesus." And in her home, she asked Jesus to come into her heart. Mary Sue, we're going to get through it. Rubyville, we're going to get through it. RCC Youth, we're going to get through it. But the only way out is through. I don't know how long this through is going to be. But I will tell you this. Every day, God will prove himself faithful. Because he promised us. He promised us. He didn't promise there wouldn't be days of darkness and storms and floods, but he promised that he would keep us in an ark and shelter us. And when we get out of it, guess where that ark landed? On top of a mountain. And Noah had the best view of everybody because the only way he could look was up. And folks, that's where we need to look up today. We need to look up. That's where our help comes from. Don't look around at your circumstances and your storm. Look up. Because he's promised us, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The only way out is through. There's no way over. There's no way under. God's doing something brand new. Cheer up, my brother, and be of good courage. Don't stop whatever you do. Step out in faith. He's making a way. The only way out is through. Whatever you're facing tonight, God will pull you through it.